Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks Bill Pay. Growth is the goal, but the paperwork is a trap. If your accounts payable feels like a second job, you're doing it wrong. Enter QuickBooks Bill Pay. Reduce manual data entry, automate your approvals, and track 1099s in one place. No more chasing signatures. No more spreadsheet headaches. Just control over your cash flow and a back office that actually scales. Automate your accounts payable today at QuickBooks.com/BillPay. Terms apply. Money movement services are provided by Intuit Payments, Inc., licensed as a money transmitter by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another Breakdown bonus episode where you just got to listen to me today, which is something I try to stay away from. I really do think that people are way more qualified than me to talk about breakups or specific topics on breakups most of the time. And I also just think it adds to the vibrance of creating deeper, more interesting stories when people open up their hearts about what happened in their lives or in their breakups, to have different perspectives, to add different facets to the story and what we can learn and take away from other people's experiences. But you know, anytime religion gets brought up, it brings up my religious trauma. And I felt like I was the person that would maybe not be the best person to give advice on this episode, but I do think I'm in a place that a lot of you who grew up with religious backgrounds are at. Maybe you're in your mid to late 20s, early 20s, whenever, and your frontal lobe has developed and you're starting to question every decision you've ever made for yourself, especially if you're someone who took your religion seriously like I did. And so as somebody who's coming from a place of having a very complicated relationship with Christianity, I truly was in awe of the person I interviewed this week, because I think a lot of the things that happened to her, if they had happened to me, like, honey, I would have been running from the church faster than maybe I'm already considering running. And I figured I would comment on some of the things and where I'm coming from with my perspective and why some of those things rocked me to my core, because I feel like if I was experiencing those things during the interview, you probably felt the same way. So I'm going to go through my experience with Christianity and then talk about how her experience with her marriage in the church really shook me, because I think it highlights a lot of the problems that the church today has and a lot of the things that are normalized in the church that I see so many like pretty progressive Christian influencers speaking about, like it should just be completely, completely normalized. Like, for example, fighting against your gut feeling that maybe a guy is wrong for you, but going through with it anyway, because you feel like your religion is telling you or a prophet is telling you to go through with it. I think there's just a lot to unpack here. So I will kind of quickly give you my religious backstory and talk about where I'm at in terms of Christianity. And then we will talk about the episode. So for me, I am pushing 28. At one point in my life, I think you could have considered myself like a Bible thumper, snobby Jesus freak. Like, I think if you ask people from middle school or high school, like, what are a couple of words to describe Abby? Like, Christianity for sure would have come up. Like, that's how deep I was into my faith and my religion. And I really don't regret it for most of it. I think it really kept me on a straight and narrow path. I think it really did support me and help influence good decisions in my life. But I do think once I hit like, you know, 24, 25, and that frontal lobe develops, baby, you start looking back on all your decisions that were influenced by your faith, and you start to hear other people's perspectives on religion and lack of religion, and it just makes you think more critically about why you believe the things that you believe, or, you know, really dig deep into things that happened in your past that felt like they were religious experiences, and you start to question if maybe they weren't, just because you know more about life and you have more life experience. But, like, let me tell you, ages like 11 through 14, I was your girl when it came to church. Like, I showed up to Wednesday night Sunday school and I was ready to play. Like, I wanted to be so heavily involved in that community. And I start to look back as an adult and I'm like, I wonder if I really did have like deep experiences with my faith, or did I just really want to be like popular at church? I don't know. And as a kid, like, you just are trying to figure out how to exist like as a human. If you think about it, when you're 13 feels so old, and like you've been doing this life thing for a while. And then you just look back and you realize like, wow, like at 13, like I really was just trying to exist. I can't even believe I've lived double that now. Like I was sentient at the age of 13 and now I've lived two 13-year-olds' lives at the age of 27. And you just feel like your life, you've just been there forever. And so of course, like life is just going to make sense to you. And then you get older and you start having all these contradictory experiences and you're like, well, maybe I don't actually believe what I believe. And so I've gotten to a place in my life where I wouldn't say I'm deconstructing my religion. I'm just questioning my experiences in relation to Christianity. Like I have definitely experienced things that to me feel supernatural is an extra word, but like spiritual for sure. But my question for myself now is, how do I know that those experiences were Christianity related? You know what I mean? How do I know my religion's right? Or how do I know that it's religion period? Like what if there really is just like a Mother Earth or like a universe that's playing all of this out? Because I certainly believe based off of things that have happened in my life that I really do feel like there is a greater plan out there. But how do I know that it's out of the book that I was reading my whole life? So I really felt connected to this week's interviewee because I think we had very, very similar upbringings. She to me sounds like we had similar childhoods. Like you're raised in the church, your family's Christian, and you become so involved in it that you like want to commit your life to it. Like this girl moved to a new state across the country to pursue ministry. That is a thankless job. It is a low paying job, but you do it because it feels so purposeful and you feel like you are doing your true passion because you feel so strongly about your faith. When she started talking about her experience with meeting her now ex-husband, it just reminded me of so many like podcasts I've listened to or books that I've read from Christian leaders where they seem to just really harp on pushing back against your humanity, specifically in romantic settings. And I want to make it clear that I'm not pushing being shallow in relationships, but there seems to be specifically for Christian young women, this narrative when it comes to dating, the only criteria that they need to have is that they are like the most Christian person in the room. I have heard church leaders say, doesn't matter about anything else, just find like the most godly human in the room. And I feel like there are so many problematic things with that statement that I could totally get into, but I'm certainly not going to bore you because we're here to talk about this week's episode. But I do feel like sometimes your faith is a sliding scale. And so I think the godliest person in the room could be anybody at any given time, depending on the day, time, year, or time of the month, honestly. The person that I interviewed this week followed all of the doctrine that I have heard my entire life, where it's like you find this person that's going to pursue you, and if they seem like they're treating you well, and they're really involved in the church and they are pursuing their faith, that is all you need to be able to commit to them. And so you need to commit to them in as short of a time as possible. And that's what happened here in this relationship. She was fighting against a lot of these gut feelings she had as a human. The first one being like, not really that attracted to this guy. I'm starting to notice some love bomby things, but hey, this prophet came up on stage and everyone in my church is saying that this is a good match. So why would I fight against that? Like if I want to really stick to my guns and continue to pursue this faith that is so important to me, it obviously makes so much logical sense to marry this man who wants to be with me and is all the things that everyone is telling me that I need to have for a relationship. So she gets married to this guy, despite the fact that this prophet who influenced her to marry this guy allegedly has been debunked as a total fraud, which if I had been in that situation, like I can't even imagine. I would have run for the hills, I think, from religion for good, if that was a personal experience for me. Because I also wonder, as somebody who's studied the Bible for a really long time, with all of the access we have to debunking things like background checks or, you know, finding someone's search history on social media, like they were probably very easily able to prove that this guy wasn't who he says he was. But like, if this had been an experience 1500 years ago, like would it have been the 67th book of the Bible? Like, I don't know. And you know what I mean? Like we couldn't fact check that far back in the day, but nevertheless, she gets married to this guy and it very quickly becomes a dangerous situation, which was absolutely heartbreaking. And for her to fight against her own humanity in this marriage, thinking that it was the correct thing to do to stay in a dangerous situation because she felt like she couldn't get divorced because of her faith. Like, I mean, I think we can all agree that that's an incredibly devastating thing to happen from the outside, even though we're looking at it in hindsight. And so she finally goes through with the divorce and gets out of that relationship, which really was putting her life at risk from what she told us. And then even still, she gets this divorce and still people in her life, people who share the same faith as her are like skimming through the Bible, like searching through it with a fine tooth comb, trying to make sure that she can still get divorced on biblical grounds. And I'm like, oh my God, like, why is it not enough that this man possibly could have killed her if he had continued what he was doing before her final straw broke? It really is crazy to me that this faith becomes so important to us that words in a book become more valuable than our own human gut instincts. And that is something I have really struggled with as a Christian, is I feel like so much of Christianity pushes up against being human. And I understand why that is to an extent, because as Christians, you're told that your humanity and your like true nature is not right. But I also think hypothetically, if there is a God, which I have believed for most of my life, he's giving you gut feelings and instincts and desires and wants for a reason. And I'm not saying all of those things are good. Sometimes I want to run my car through a tree if I'm angry. Like, not, that's not all good. But I think we have human intuition and wisdom to help us decide what is good and what is not. And I think sometimes in religion, it can be such a beat down on people, and just telling yourself that you are not good enough and there's something wrong with you and you need someone to come swoop in and save you, the savior, that we learn to not trust ourselves. And I think that's a really devastating thing to happen, especially when you see grown adults really question if leaving an abusive relationship is the right.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Pepsi Prebiotic Cola, an original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
Thing to do. Okay, now that I've sufficiently trauma dumped on you from all of my years of being in the church, let's just talk about how religion plays into your relationships, period, from like a generic standpoint. I will use Christianity in this situation as an example, since that's what this this main episode was all about. And I think there are a lot of similarities from religion to religion that I sometimes wonder, like, how much of that was cultural versus the actual intention of the creator of the religion or the God? Like, for example, obviously, 3,000 years ago, or however old these religions are, life was a lot more conservative back in the day. And obviously, there were stricter rules on relationships for obvious reasons. Like, they weren't trying to have a bunch of kids with a bunch of different fathers with the same mom. So I think there's an argument to be had there that because of a lack of birth control, maybe there were cultural implications that influenced the religion. And I sometimes wonder, I'm like, if these religions had started today, like, you know, with modern medicine, I do kind of wonder if that would have had any influence on it. But obviously, like, when you are so committed to your faith, like, you've either got to be all in or all out. And I know that's not always the case for people who pick up religion. Like, I know some people are more conservative with things or more liberal with things, but I get on Mormon talk every now and then, and I look at these poor 19-year-olds who are rushing into marriage just because they want to bang. And I'm like, oh my God, like, you have no idea how much you're about to change in the next 6 years. And I listen, this is not a blanket statement. I'm not saying that's like a doomsday thing for any religion. relationship to start marriage at 19. I'm sure there are some people that have been very, very successful. But all I'm saying is I did watch The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, and I don't necessarily think it worked out for all of them perfectly. There are certainly things that I think you can take away from what religion says about how to go into successful relationships and make them successful for your modern day relationships, especially if you are trying to be committed to your faith. Like, obviously, if you are deeply, deeply committed to whatever your religion is, like, of course you're going to want to follow that. And I do think the right person for you is also going to have those same beliefs and the same amount of commitment too. I think when I was a little bit more committed and just less doubtful about my Christian faith, I really struggled with the idea of thinking like, wow, my dating pool is getting so much smaller all because of like this thing in my life that I know is so valuable and important, and I don't want to give it up for just some dude. But at the same time, like, God, it'd be a lot easier if I had less things on my list to look for in terms of finding a person, because I think you need to have a very similar moral code. You have to have similar values, and so much of your religion, even relationships aside, like, just build who you are. What's weird is even as I'm kind of deciding whether or not I want to stick out being a Christian or not, it is funny that even when I'm dating, that is something that I want and I look for. Like, it's not even like I need you to be one or the other, like Christian or not Christian, but it's like, I want you to know what it was like to go to a Christian summer camp and have everyone around you putting their hands up and having this spiritual experience and you questioning your sanity as to whether or not you're not experiencing God because you also don't want to put your hands up, or like, you're not Christian enough. Like, I need someone with that same kind of trauma or that same kind of life experience, I think, to get me. And it is just so funny how even when you want to reject your religion or something that you're not even sure really fits your current day identity, it's like family. Like, you can't get rid of it. It's just who you are. And I thought it was very interesting that even despite this woman's experience in her relationship with Christianity and this church that really seemed to push her and her ex-husband together, she still ended up with somebody who shares her faith. He's a Catholic and she's still a Christian. And she told me that she is, you know, reconsidering things about her faith as well. But at the same time, like, she still ended up with somebody who has the same belief in the same God. Granted, it is on very different terms. Like, he seems he's a lot more lax with his religion than maybe her old church was. But it is funny that even when we're wronged by something, like, we can still move past it and see the good in it. And that's just really something I admired about her from doing this interview, is that she didn't want to run from her faith just because people in that religion had done her wrong. So I think that's really something you can take from this episode, if anything, is that if you do have such a strong belief in faith and religion and you're having a hard time reconciling that with the people that have hurt you within that community, it is possible to move forward despite it all. Okay, so what's the moral of the story here? What can we take away from this woman who went through a grueling experience with her ex-husband and moving past that, but also still clinging on to something that's so important to her, which is her religion? And I think we can take away the fact that she still has faith as such an incredible testament to the resilience of her, and also the beauty of what it is to have faith in something that you can't see, even when the things that you can see or the things that you are experiencing within that community still hurt you. And B, I think whether or not you subscribe to religion or not, it doesn't preclude you from being influenced by it in dating, because whether or not you have a set of moral compasses or values that you adhere to, I think the person that you're looking for is also going to have those similarities. And if you feel like you've got to figure out your religion before you get into a relationship or find someone who does or doesn't subscribe to those same beliefs that you have or haven't figured out yet, like, you're going to find that person who is in that same place as you. I think that's a big buzzword that the church loves to use, is to find someone who's equally yoked. And as somebody who is kind of having one foot in the door and one foot out the door, the right person for you is probably not sitting in one camp or the other. They're probably sitting right where you sit morally and spiritually. And if that happens to be on the fence, if it happens to be on one side of the fence, or it happens to be on the other side of the fence, you're going to find that person. And I think you're going to feel totally at home and at ease when you find someone that maybe has the same questions or lack of questions as you. So I hope you're able to get something from this episode. This was definitely a little bit of a trauma dump for me, but but it's a conversation that I think needs to be had when it comes to religion and relationships and trying to define what that means to us before jumping into a relationship, or if we're in one where we feel like our religion is influencing it, making sure that we have the clarity and the objectiveness to make sure that we don't totally ignore our humanity just because a book 3,000 years ago said something about it. But that's just my opinion. But anyway, I will see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.